Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Jesse Lee, and this is Bridge the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marciano Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name or my side project, Midnight Soundtrack, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists or directing and editing music videos and music documentaries. You might also know me as the Crazy Vegan, which is a nutrition, fitness, and well-being vlog that I recently started. If you'd like to work together or you just want to say hi, hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, and or Twitter as my name, Marcio Novelli. That is such a mouthful. I got through it.
So she said. We are on Patreon and we've got lots of exciting stuff to share with you on there. You can support us from as little as $1 a month. And in exchange, you get some patron-only exclusives. We have just recently upgraded some things over there, so please do head on over and check it out.
I'm proud of you for that one. Perks include early access to content, shoutouts for your band or brand, as well as your chance to co-host the show alongside Ross and I. But most importantly, your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly episodes and, wait for it, spreading knowledge throughout the land.
We've also got official BTA shirts available to purchase on our website. They will help you look great. They will help you keep you warm. All proceeds go into helping us keep the lights on here at Bridge the Atlantic, which is, you know, win-win all around. You know, who wouldn't want to, you know, look great and keep lights on? Amazing. There's a link to get them in our show notes. So if you use the coupon code BTA Rocks, you'll receive 15% off your purchase. It's our little way of saying what, Marcio?
Gracias. I just love that you don't respond to my throughout the land anymore. You're just like, I'm just going right for it. I'm not going to respond to this anymore. Lastly, everyone, we just want to remind you to make sure you subscribe to us here so you don't miss each week's episode. And particularly, make sure you subscribe on YouTube because we are giving away a free shirt for every 100 new subscribers we get. That's it. We have 7 different colors. So if you ever have a shirt, get a different color.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But now to the main event. Joining us this week out of Cleveland, Ohio is music publicist Jesse Lee. Jesse is a publicist with High Road Publicity, a team of highly passionate PR professionals with a combined 30 plus years experience.
Yes, High Road Publicity have developed an uncanny system for developing and launching an avalanche of emerging bands that are signing to some prestigious labels, including Revival Recordings, Artery Recordings, Rise Records, and Equal Vision. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Jesse.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me.
No worries. Let's get awkward. Who wants to get awkward? I want to get awkward.
I love being awkward.
Tell us 3 things about yourself that everyone should know.
I'm mildly obsessed with health and fitness. I like read about it and watch videos all the time. Probably do that more than actually working out. I'm a super easygoing guy. I just like to always get to the bottom of conflicts rather than, you know, jump right in and, you know, attack. And one time I impersonated Justin Bieber for a 7-year-old's birthday party.
So Jesse, what led you to pursue a career as a publicist, and what has been the biggest thing that you've learned in your career so far?
Well, I started out as a musician. I started playing guitar when I was 12 years old, playing in bands and singing and everything. And I was in a punk band for about since 2010 to 2016. And back in 2013, we had a manager who was friends with the business manager at Tragic Hero Records. And I was friends with him on Facebook, and we would chat all the time. And I was working a 40-hour job at some law firm. I hated my life. Like, all I wanted to do was, like, rock and roll, you know, and everything. And so, like, you know, through conversations with the business manager at Tragic, I was just like, hey, can you hire me for anything? Like, just give me a job doing something. And they're like, well, we need a new publicist. You know, maybe you could start as an intern here and, you know, turn that into a career here. And I was, he's like, have you ever done press or anything like that? I'm like, well, I've promoted shows before, you know, it's like the same thing, right? So he gave me a chance, he brought me on, he taught me some stuff, and, you know, I just flourished from there. At least I think I flourished.
Do you know Eric Hilt?
Yeah, good friend. Well, not good friend, but I know of him, yeah. We've hung out a few times.
Yeah, we found him on the show. And yeah. He drummed on my upcoming new album. He did some drumming on some of the songs. Great guy.
Yeah. Great I actually guy. Just watched the interview you guys did with him recently. I've hung out with him a couple times at the studio and stuff. He's a cool guy.
I want to know what misconceptions you find that bands have around publicity. Like, do they know what it is? And, you know, do they confuse publicists with their managers, agents, and so on and so forth? And how do you manage their expectations or explain to them what you do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions about what a publicist does and what their function and job role is. And yeah, like you said, a lot of bands think that they hire a publicist and the publicist, like, is the one booking shows for them stuff too, you know, which isn't the case. You know, one of the biggest misconceptions I can think of off the top of my head is bands often think that press is like instantaneous. Like they can hire us and then the next day they're like, oh, so when are we going to premiere our video on alt press? It's like, well, I need the video first.
Why are we not on Pitchfork?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and there's a few good publicists that, you know, go by the quotes that press is not a sprint, it's a marathon, and which is 100% true. Like you have to build up to these bigger features. Like, not very often can you throw a band that just has a few hundred, you know, fans onto something like Pitchfork or Billboard and they're going to catch fire. You know, it's like you kind of have to be everywhere. You kind of have to build up, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys have been in a position where you've seen a band maybe two or three times in different publications. And you said, oh, that band again. And then maybe after the fifth or sixth time, you're like, I guess I'll click play and hear it because I'm seeing this band everywhere, you know, and that's kind of like part of the benefit of press is you kind of want to cover all the spots where your audience is going to be so that they start to think like, okay, every single outlet's talking about this band, I want to listen to them, give them a shot, you know? So I think the balancing expectations can be really tough. You know, the younger bands that are just starting out, you know, after they do a first record and they've had a little bit of press, then they have a better understanding of it and what it all entails. But yeah, just initially, right out of the gate, they do think like, yeah, all press at the end of the week, we'll be on Warped Tour on this summer, you know, it's the...
Right, so how do you manage those expectations? For the people tuning into this right now, what should they be expecting when they first start working with a publicist?
Yeah, I mean, there should definitely be a conversation with the band ahead of time to, you know, figure out what their goals are and what their expectations are. And the only way to really balance that is to kind of talk to them, let them know what you think is possible. And like I tell the band straight up before we're going to start a campaign, like these are the outlets and these are the goals that I would have for this campaign, what I think are possible. And if they still don't understand, they're like, well, we want this, we want that. And I tell them, nothing's impossible. I've done some premieres and some, you know, features on some really huge sites for really tiny bands that normally I would say, wow, I would never be able to do that. But it's happened. But it's not something you promise. You know, you can always say, like, I will pitch for this, but I can't guarantee this. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're okay with the possibility of not getting it, then, you know, we'll move forward. And like, I've had bands straight up say, like, no, I want this outlet guaranteed. And if I've told them, like, I can't guarantee you that. And they're like, well, then we don't want to do a campaign. And it's like, okay.
Well, then you shouldn't work with any publicist that guarantees
and
you anything.
Yeah, 100%. And I've split ways with bands before we've even started because of that same thing, because I would never guarantee something. Because even if I was best friends with the owner of the magazine, who knows what's going to happen between A and B, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think looking at it as a marathon is it makes a lot of sense. It's about building your brand. I hate to say it, but it's kind of what it is, and it's about, again, brand recognition. So it's about, you know, slowly building over time, so that one, you know, larger and larger and more well known publications will finally write about you, and also on the other end, that people that might not know your music know you yet, but because it's kind of like in the back of their mind, I've seen that name. That might actually get them to listen to your music finally, right? So it really is, it's the long game. I think it really is the long game. And for anyone tuning into this, if you're looking to get a publicist, one, have a reason that you're having a publicist, right? Don't just get a publicist. Have a new album out, have a tour you're promoting, have something that your publicist can work. Because if you don't, it's kind of pointless.
Right.
You're just going to pay a publicist to do what? You know, have you ever had that where people come to you as a publicist and they don't really like have something particularly to market?
Yeah, I mean, I get that a lot, and it's really unfortunate. I've had some bands that I think are great, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you know, we want to work with you. Our record came out last year." I'm like, "Okay, so do you have any music videos or a tour or anything?" Like, "No, like we just want you to get reviews for this record." It's like, and like those are the bands too. They're like, "Can we get reviews and all press for this?" It's like, "No, it came out a year ago." Yeah. You know, so, and I've just there's been moments where I've had to pass and be like, you know, if you have something new, I would love to talk and we can see what we can do. But I mean, that nothing kills me more than when a band brings me an awesome record and they're like, "Yeah, we just put it out last week on Bandcamp." I'm like, "Oh no, come on. Like we could have done so much more with this."
So Jesse, with social media playing such a huge role in both our professional and personal lives now, has that changed the way that you approach PR? And what role does social media play in a publicity campaign? Because I'm sure some artists think that social media is possibly a substitution for PR. How can it work together? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one thing I've noticed with the correlation of social media and PR is that in the past, you know, obviously if you got a review on a website or a premiere on a website, you know, it was cool to have, and the artists were super excited to share those links. Now I've noticed over the past few years that an artist, even if they get a review or a premiere on a really cool site, if it's not shared on that site's social media, they don't really see the value in it. Like, I've sent bands reviews. I'm like, "Hey, look at this great review." And they're like, "Well, are they going to put it on their Facebook?" And it's like, yeah, I mean, hopefully they do. They're like, "All right, well, if they put it on Facebook, then we'll share it." Like, they don't want to share the native link for some reason because they only see the value in the social media in our reaction to it. Which, I mean, obviously, it's great to have on all accounts, you know, to have the social media and the website presence. But I mean, you know, people are still going to those sites or they're seeing this content, and especially if the, you know, the site took the time to review your record, it's, you know, it's the polite thing to do at the very least to share it. But and yeah, I've noticed that a lot too with like some of the bigger sites. They won't share their smaller features and stuff on their social media because of, you know, the algorithms and everything. They have to you know, space everything out. So, I mean, that can also really affect like the amount of coverage the press campaign is getting as a whole.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's kind of a bummer in some cases. I mean, I totally understand like not sharing every single review and interview. So, I mean, even like for the high road publicity, you know, social media accounts, it's kind of difficult to share all the coverage we get for our artists, you know, without, you know, being an avalanche of, you know, links basically. But, you know, if there's a premiere, I feel like that should really be shared across all of the outlets accounts. Like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to at that point. If you're taking a chance at the band at that point to premiere it, why wouldn't you want to, you know?
I wouldn't encourage publications to share as much as possible.
I mean, 99% of the outlets I work with do it.
Yeah. I think out of all the press I've got, there's like maybe a handful that didn't do that. You know what I mean? But it's actually interesting that it was actually the bigger publications that did share it. Mm-hmm. It was actually some of the smaller ones. I think they just weren't managed very well. They didn't do that. But no, I think, and just as kind of to extend that thought, I think exclusives and everything except maybe for review, maybe review is considered a little like secondary to like a feature or an exclusive. In my opinion, I'm more excited to share that. Unless it's in a ridiculously good review, then I want to share that. Of course. But anyways, it's time for our lightning round. Are you ready for 20 questions?
All right, hold on. Okay.
I like it. I like the audacity. Okay, here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Indie or major?
Indie.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Paramore or Paris?
Paris.
Ooh, both great.
Just because I worked with them, I have to.
I love Paris. I love them. Seen them in a month or so. Family Guy or South Park?
South Park.
Talent or attitude?
Attitude.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
John Mayer or Eric Clapton?
Might catch some heat, but John Mayer.
Style or substance?
Ooh, substance.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Parks and Rec or The Office?
Oh, man. The Office.
And I wonder if this will give you the same reaction. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, I felt like he thought about that one for a long time, Roz.
Internally, yes.
Yeah. It was just, he's just really fast. He's just really fast at this, so, you know.
That's all.
Just process
Celine
information.
Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson, I guess.
So, what, neither one of them? Not a
Yeah, not really.
Is there a third option? Is there, how about Marilyn Manson dressed as Celine Dion? Or even better yet,
okay.
Celine Dion dressed as Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, I like that. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Well, we've got Celine's Halloween costume all lined up for her.
There we go.
Whale or kale?
Can I ride the whale while I eat the kale?
Yes,
absolutely.
Please, my fellow vegan brethren. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And your final question, Ross or Marcio?
Okay, let's see. You guys will be like this, right? So, definitely Ross. I mean, really, really is Marcio.
I'm impressed. I like that. I like that.
That was good. That was
well
a nice...
Well done.
Yeah.
For bands who are looking to work with a publicist, hopefully you, or if you're not the right fit, another great publicist, what are the questions they should be asking when choosing who to work with?
They should be asking the publicist what kind of, you know, track record they have. Like, do they work with the outlets that you're going after? You know, if you're a country, you know, musician, you might not want to be going after a publicity company that primarily works metal artists, you know, and vice versa. So you definitely want to make sure it's a good fit style-wise, and do they have the connections that are actually going to be beneficial to your campaign. I would always ask for, you know, previous examples of work. You know, I know in our case, we have a lot of our, you know, campaign highlights on our website, and obviously we post everything on our social media. But, you know, if I'm starting to work with a band, a lot of times I send them a recent campaign that I've done from a band that sounds, you know, maybe similar to the genre and similar to the size, you know, as far as like followers and fans and everything like that. Because I wouldn't want to show them what I've done for a band with this tour in Europe and has, you know, thousands of CD sales, and they're just starting out, obviously, because those aren't going to be balanced expectations. So I think, you know, making sure you're on the same page with, you know, the expectations and style wise are super important.
What is one of the biggest things a band can do, in your opinion, to make themselves as publicity ready as possible?
Whose other opinion would it be, Rob? He's like, okay, I'm going to answer that question with my friend's opinion. In your opinion.
having great promo photos is a must. I mean, I can't even tell you how surprised I am sometimes when I'm working with a band. I start to talk to the band, start to work with them, and they have great music videos. They sound awesome. You know, getting just a standard, you know, electronic press kit together is great. Obviously, a publicist can help you with that, with like the bio and putting everything together. But I mean, if you have it all ready to go, that's even better. Save some time. You know, let's see.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Do you write a bio for everyone, or do you outsource that?
I have written bios for bands. I wrote a bio for Finch one time that you had on the
our podcast. Buddy Nate was on the show. Yeah. He's gonna be back soon.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I tried to use that to pick up a bartender one time years ago, and she wasn't, because she started playing Finch on the radio, and I was like, "You like Finch? Let me tell you about what I did with Finch."
It didn't work out.
No, not so much.
Did she just not believe you, or what was it?
I don't think she was as big a fan of Finch as I thought she was, because she was kind of like, cool. Luckily, I'm engaged
she
now.
She wasn't
those days
cool enough,
me.
Man. She's not that big of a Finch fan. Yeah. She's not cool enough.
No, you don't need her.
Yeah.
So they should have their music ready to go, photos, and a bio if someone professional has written one. If not, you can write one for them. Because if you can write a bio for Finch, you can write a bio for you.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate sale. So, yeah.
Is there something I'm forgetting? Is there something I'm forgetting on there that they should have ready to go?
No, I mean, those are the basics. You want to have those locked down. Definitely, like, all everything. I mean, having, like, you know, the high-quality MP3s, you know, to go with it.
360, yeah.
And, you know, having, like, the complete package really is the best thing, you know, to have, like, you know, the CD completely done. Like, a lot of times a band will come to me and, like, they're still in the mixing process of their CD, which is fine. Like, we can start game playing, getting things going. But, you know, I just hate setting release dates and then not being able to meet them, you know, because it's so many times a band's...
It doesn't look good.
Yeah. Because, like, that's the other thing, bands don't realize that you need some lead time when pitching, you know, music to, you know, these publications. So, yeah, just because your record's going to be done a week before the actual release of it doesn't mean you should set that release date, because you need the music way before then to start pitching and everything.
Yeah, we should say that it's usually typically at least 3 months, right? Every publicist needs 3 months before the release of your album in order to pitch that and get you all that kind of press. So, but that doesn't, you shouldn't just have an album though. You know, it's the more stuff you have, at least in my experience, the more stuff you have ready to go that your publicist can share and try to get you press for, the better. I would say if you have like 10 songs on your album, do like 3 music videos and maybe do lyric videos for a few others, and maybe just have artwork video, because you don't know who's going to want to premiere that. You can have a very large publication want to premiere the music videos, medium ones wanting to do your lyric videos, and maybe smaller publications will be willing to premiere even just the album cover with the music, if you know, if I'm not, at least in my experience. And yeah, so like have as much going for that as you possibly can. And if you can have tour dates as well, that can really help get publicity in the in a city that that particular certain publications focus on, particular city. That would just be my tips as a musician that's worked with publicists. Please, Jesse, either add on or confirm or deny what I'm the advice I'm giving here.
No, like, you nailed it. And like, I mean, obviously you should be a publicist, actually. you know your stuff.
No thanks.
No, but like, yeah, I know.
I just learned to get my shit together as a musician. No, so that you can't,
like,
publicist.
Yeah, like you said, the tour dates is great too. Like, this is always an opportunity, especially if you go to the big markets, to getting, you know, interviews and reviews and, like, you know, maybe live sessions and things like that for the different publications. You know, I mean, there's been plenty of times where I've had a writer been kind of on the fence about an artist, and then they actually got a chance to see them live, and they were like, you know, they were blown away by it, and it, you know, it always,
wow.
And yeah, and like you said, having as much content as, you know, you have or you can is great for a press campaign, because maybe you aren't hired us to do a premiere for your video, the album stream, and then do the interviews and reviews. But if you have an extra live video that you know it's just like professionally shot that you just want to release, you know, let your publicist know ahead of time, like, hey, we have this, like, I know it's not in the deal that we signed or whatever, but, you know, do you want to do anything with it? Like, I mean, a great example is I had a PR campaign with this really awesome indie rock band recently called Ledges. And, like, we had a lot of great success with, like, that campaign. And they actually had these really great live videos that they were just kind of sitting on. And, I mean, it wasn't part of the campaign, but I loved the band. I want to help them out. So I took it to bands in town, and they premiered it last week. And it was really cool. Got a lot, you know, traction and... you know, stuff like that, like any kind of content you have, like definitely keeping your publicist up to date in general of anything you have is really important. Like, there's so many bands that I've worked with that are like, they'll post something up on their social media that I had no idea that they were going to do or release. I'm like, hey, why didn't you tell me?
Thinking,
like,
we could have used made a plan for that, exactly. You know? So at the end of the day, you know, if you're looking to get a publicist, it's because you have something new coming out. You know, you either have an album, you have a tour and or music videos to promote this, you know, just they're there to get professional publications to either premiere, feature or review. Just remember that, you know. So I'd encourage you to go find yourself a good publicist. We're talking to one right now. And so speaking of which, where's the best place for people to find you online, Jesse?
Cool. So yeah, you can find High Road Publicity on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, the Twitter. You know, we've got a website. And then for me personally, you know, you can just find me, follow me on Instagram. You can see, you know, pictures of my food and me, like,
vegan food.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'll probably,
that's how we bonded.
Right. Exactly.
I also do a show, but veganism.
And then, I do have a Twitter personally, but there's nothing good on there. I tweet like once every year or two. So Instagram is probably
awesome.
The best
so
place.
If you want to get one tweet a year, maybe one tweet every 2 years, maybe if you're lucky, you'll get
it'll be worth
one
the
tweet
wait.
A year. It'll be worth the wait.
Maybe
wait.
I'll, like, oh my god, he tweeted. Maybe I'll give out a prize on my Twitter, so you know you're the first person to like it. So you really gotta follow me and make sure.
I'm gonna turn my notifications on. And I will be the first to like it. So make that prize a good one. Make that prize a good one. And you can find us, as in Bridge the Atlantic, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of these beautiful shirts. while you're there.
And I'm currently working on my second full-length solo album. You can pre-order it at marcionovelli.com/pre-order. When you support my new album, you instantly receive a free download of my latest acoustic EP as a thank you. You can find my music on Spotify and really anywhere that you like to listen to music. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli. And thanks, Mom, because that's a good name.
It's a very good name. Fantastic name, actually. And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog at electrickiwi.co.uk. I gave it that name myself. So thanks to me. I don't know.
What?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
Here comes my podcast voice. This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, as well as Music Entrepreneur HQ and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive.
Love it. I trained a little Rick Barker and Alan Cross in there. Just a little bit of both of them. Just, you know.
I mean, it needs some work, but it's,
I didn't rehearse it, so.
No, 7 out of 10. If you'd like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. Like we mentioned earlier, we've recently updated the rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, as well as an opportunity for you to co-host an episode. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and iTunes so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Only if it's good. Jesse, so glad to have you on here, man. I'm glad we can make this happen. We had a little bit of technical difficulties beforehand. No one really needs to know about, but I said it anyways. It was all good. I'm so glad we can make this work. You're a great dude, and please do come back, man.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for having me on, guys. It was a blast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.